The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the views of the management and staff of Guardian Radio.
Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. It is Thursday, the 14th of May, 2026, and you are on the clock with Aaron. Like God, people get the governments they deserve green. We've got lots to talk about this morning. We're still in our post-election review. We may be for a few days because the data is rolling in slowly. In fact, where is the raw data? When will the PRD post, publish, right? The raw data, the numbers, constituency by constituency, polling division by polling division. Once again, we know in a first past the post system, the first person past the post wins. But that doesn't mean that the celebration begins. Because once we all pass the post, we need that data to make sense of what just happened to us and what we should prepare for in the next 5 years. The data is so important. It's very important. So we're going to start the show today with a couple of questions. The PLP won another supermajority, 33-8. But did they win the people's hearts? Can this PLP, can this second Davis administration truly say that they have a mandate from the people of the Bahamas? Now, yesterday there was a lot of data floating around. Saw a chart. Now, every chart I've seen so far clearly states that these are unofficial numbers, right? I don't think this is an act of malfeasance or mischievousness, right? This is just people trying to get data out as they get it. So what we know is that the voter turnout was approximately 58%, right? Tribune headline says, a tragic in quotation marks, 58%. And we know that the PLP secured, 51%+ of the voters that turned out, of the votes, right? So is 53% of a 58% voter turnout, is that the mandate of the people? I think this is very important for a party that is so focused on communication. I think it's important for the PLP to understand how their words must be measured to honestly reflect their reception by the Bahamian people. The next question is, whose fault is the low voter? See, because here's the problem. The problem is that parties benefit from low voter turnouts, even though a country may not. Whose fault is the low voter turnout? And who is responsible? Who bears the burden? Who has the responsibility of engendering or in galvanizing people around the political process? Who is responsible for bringing more people into the electoral space? And why are so many people deciding not to vote? We also have to weigh this juxtaposed to the new permanent register. My name is on the register whether I intend to vote or not. Simple. My name is on the register whether I intend on voting or not. So we have a lot of people whose names are on the register, but their name being on the register is not an indication of whether they're actually going to vote or not. Also, we understand now that a voter's card is a state-level ID. It is required, right? Like sometimes you need two pieces of identification. And here's the problem. Nobody's actually required by law to get a passport unless they want to travel outside the country. Let me just say this. In this particular political dispensation, nobody needs a passport for inter-island migration to move throughout their own country. Nobody is required to have a voter's card because you can't force me to vote. Now, everybody who's working should have a national insurance card. Let's go to the phone line. The lights have been blinking. I'm going to take a break. Not quite ready to go, but here we are. Good morning, caller.
Oh, I'm sorry to be the first negative in the morning, but good morning, Ms. Green, the lovely one.
Morning, sir. How are you?
Hey there, Ms. Green. You know, Ms. Green, what confuses me, I did my own little private survey of the young people in my area.
Mm-hmm.
Now, when I went to vote on that day, I saw thousands of people out there in their red shirt, black shirt, blue shirt,
mm-hmm.
proud with hats and pom-poms, going to vote to show who they're voting for. No problem with that. That's their rights.
Mm-hmm.
But when I surveyed the younger people around in my area and wherever I went, even to little young ladies at the cashier at Super Value and so forth,
mm-hmm.
I would ask them this question, are you ready to vote? And they look me right in the eye, no, sir.
Mm-hmm.
I say, why not? Because to me, it looked like ain't nothing to ever change in my country. I am trying to get to go off to school and hope I never come back. This
Man.
Is what young people are telling me. And I said, look here, but if you don't vote, you have no say and nothing will ever change. I said, I am from the 75-year-old generation. And when we was growing up, our parents had it instilled in us how important it was for the community, the country, to vote for UBP, PLP, FNM, whoever,
mm-hmm.
and pass that down the line to the generation.
Mm-hmm.
So that we have different generations. Like I told people yesterday, Perry Christian, those they are the 80-year-old.
Mm-hmm.
I'm in the 70-year-old, you have the 60-year-old, then you come down to the 50-year-old with you, then you come down to the children just coming over 18, coming out of school.
Yeah.
They said it's okay to have a D average. One minister of education said, isn't that wrong with a D average? I say, but that minister couldn't take a D average home to St. James Road when he came from St. Augustine.
Oh, man, Sparky, listen, thank you. Right there.
Right there.
But
what I'm saying, Ms. Green,
mm-hmm.
something has turned the children off that they don't believe nothing can change. So I explained to them, but you have to change it. So when I retire and can't vote anymore, you be in charge because you got to start looking out for your children and grandchildren in the future.
Absolutely.
And it was so difficult to get, and that's what I believe the problem was. Thousands of children were 18 years and older, and they rather go pack groceries to Super Value than go to vote.
Now, listen, Sparky, you said some very powerful things. Started the last one. That's not true. Many young people have to pack groceries because nobody on the campaign trail, right, showed them how voting can uplift their lives, right? How voting today is going to help me pay my bills tomorrow. Nobody has had a national discourse with the Bahamian people about these things. right? So, like, what you said was so important. The second thing you said about a minister saying that there's nothing wrong with a D average, knowing that if they had uttered those words in their own home, they would have gotten a beating. A beating that is no longer allowed under the system that they manage, right? It is about a culture of appreciation for education, right? It's about a culture of appreciation for being knowledgeable. Let's go to the next caller. Thank you, Sparky. Those are very important points that we should expand and expound upon. Let's go to the next caller. Good morning, caller.
Hey, morning, Miss Green. How you doing?
I'm good, thank you. How are you?
Right, yeah, I'll just let you chime in on that same topic there, right?
Mm-hmm.
With the low voter turnout.
Mm-hmm.
There's multiple reasons why it was a low turnout, right?
Mm-hmm.
One, some people perceived that the line was going to be too lengthy, right? And they didn't want to wake up 5 o'clock in the morning to get on the line to vote.
Mm-hmm.
Two, some people actually went to vote, you know, and changed their mind. They said that, okay, well, it ain't going to change nothing.
Mm-hmm.
If things would still remain the same.
Mm-hmm.
I think that we need to do something about that, right? If you listen to radio stations majority of the time, right,
mm-hmm.
you on the radio station, what was the most common thing you hear people say? The F&M and PLP the same.
Mm-hmm.
So the young people keep on hearing that over and over and over again, right? Even amongst each other,
mm-hmm.
people say, okay, ain't nothing gonna change. No matter who you vote for, ain't nothing gonna change. So the young people hearing that, so they saying to themselves, but it don't make no sense voting.
If this were the old people saying.
Keep on saying it.
Yeah. Yeah. I feel
and
it.
The third thing I want, before you go, right, the
mm-hmm.
third thing I want to make a note on, right?
Mm-hmm.
I really thought in my head, right, that people actually was intentionally, like, writing foolish things on those ballots, you know.
You think people were intentionally spoiling their ballots?
No, I thought that people was intentionally writing, like, how they write, okay, this is my MP, or
yeah.
write something negative on it, or put a tick or something else as an X, right? So people actually think that they were actually doing the right thing and not doing nothing wrong.
Okay.
I dare to respect that. I have a coworker, right?
Yeah.
I mean, let me make this short.
Mm-hmm.
He came in office yesterday, right?
Mm-hmm.
He said, okay, he votes, right?
Mm-hmm.
Then he said that, well, he asked the person if, now, the big sign on the door says, put an X at the door. God is my witness, this conversation took place,
mm-hmm.
right? He said that he asked the lady if he could put a tick, opposed to X.
Mm-hmm.
So people actually think that they could actually put something else to indicate that's who they're voting for.
Mm-hmm.
They're not actually intentionally, like, doing something stupid. They think they're actually doing the right thing. That's a problem.
Yeah, I observed a new voter unintentionally spoiling their ballot. And I was so impressed by the process, right? They were very gentle with him because from the data, you could see he's a new voter. They were very gentle with him, and there's a procedure if you spoil the ballot unintentionally and they become aware of it, and then they identify that you did not intend to spoil it before it goes in the box, you know? But the question is, thank you very much, caller. I want to know what the spoiled ballot numbers are. I declare my bias. You know, I maintain a spoil the ballot campaign, but I think it's important to know what those numbers are. I'm not sure they're going to release them. Why is it important? It may not be important to who won the election, but it's going to be important for the next election. How much of our resources do we need to divert to voter education, right? Versus people who intentionally spoil their ballot, how much of our resources do we need to divert to programs that build greater political participation? Let's go to the phone line. Good morning, caller.
Good morning, Aaron.
Good morning.
Well, everything I've heard thus far, it comes right back down to one thing,
mm-hmm.
and that is education.
Mm-hmm.
You know, first and foremost, for the first-time voters, if we don't have any, in fact, I haven't seen any programming on the television in particular, or on online.
And ZNS have three channels.
Showing persons how they should vote
mm-hmm.
When they go into the polls. That's one.
Mm-hmm.
And then two, you know, a lot of persons, you know, they just aren't voting because of the apathy, where it is indeed being settled here, which is very concerning, that the two parties are, like Peter and Paul, they're one and the same. And I think primarily we have to do a better job to distinguish the differences, not just the similarities, because there are some similarities. Mm-hmm. But what are the differences between the two parties that needs to be observed? And then my final point here is this. Mm-hmm. You know, I believe that, you know, with the low voter turnout, that is indeed a problem for this country. Mm-hmm. Because if you said that it was estimated there was over 200,000 voters registered.
Yeah.
And then we only got half of that number, approximately.
Yeah.
Then that is a very serious concern. Mm-hmm. Where is the apathy? What's causing the apathy? And what are we going to do towards the 2031
right.
elections that's up to come? What are we going to do to educate our people to come out and vote? Oh, and one other thing before I go, mm-hmm. and that is, you know, we have to get down to the education part again, the teaching our Constitution in the classroom.
Yeah.
You know, and it has to start from small. We keep just rushing over this, but I think it's imperative for the Ministry of Education to actually get down to the point, to actually beginning the curriculum of teaching our Constitution from the primary school level. We can't wait for high school or universities of Bahamas. It has to start when they're smart. And that is when they can determine what their rights are. Even when people push nonsense in front of them, they'll be able to tell what is right and wrong according to the Constitution.
Absolutely.
And that's all I have to say this morning, Aaron. Thanks for taking my call.
Absolutely. That's it right there, education. And so now it is time to blame the University of the Bahamas. I don't know if they actually, I just won't blame them. But the point is, we have this amazing tertiary institution in our country, and they should be working in partnership with the PRD for public education, for a political exercise, not a partisan exercise. Let's go to the caller. Good morning, caller.
Yes, good morning, Mr. Green.
Morning.
Yeah, great conversation, and I'm glad you brought it up, and I'd like to thank Shivago for providing some data,
mm-hmm.
trying to make sense of it, but I guess, and I am impressed with what you are asking for, you see what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
And so I don't know who's to blame, right?
Mm-hmm.
I really can't say who's to blame, you know, but I mean, the thing is, maybe if we, I guess sometimes, you know, I don't like to talk, but, you know, I like to share. So that's my problem.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe if we teach the youth them and we stress that by their lack of voting, that this is what I'm seeing now, right?
Mm-hmm.
The highest form of oligarchical collectivism, right?
Mm-hmm.
So people like to call it conspiracy theories. I first learned about it about 30 years ago from George Orwell's book, 1984. Eric Blair's real name.
Mm-hmm.
The thing is, he spoke about oligarchical collectivism. Everybody have a smartphone in front of them, so I don't need to explain what it means, but it's frightening because this is what is taking place in our country. The degree of totalitarian type power, it may sound, all right, in Orwell's book, it was a fictional, you know, I mean, it didn't have to be true, but mm-hmm. it exists today. So this is what we pay the price for being dogmatically educated and dismissing non-conformed minds or deviant minds. We just dismiss, and they isolate a deep thinker. And so what I'm witnessing now is the fact that poverty, right,
mm-hmm.
and ignorance, and the taxpayers' money is being weaponized against us, in which my message is, when you speak out against politicians or what they're doing, they shouldn't take it personal. Sometimes you just speak to let them know that a sheep in the pasture is shrewd enough to read you like a book without even taking a cursory look.
Listen,
give thanks.
Absolutely. Politically exposed persons, right? Once you become a politically exposed person, you then must understand that you're going to be engaged by the public, right? We are going to talk about your work as a politician. And if you don't actually tell us what you're doing, the people can end up talking about you and the lack of work that you're producing. Let's go to the next caller. The other caller hung up. Call back, other caller. I do want to transition, though, so let's get this part in quick. Good morning, caller.
Miss Green.
Yes, sir.
How you doing?
I'm good, thank you.
Here.
Yes, sir.
Listen to me, Miss Green.
Mm-hmm.
The government did their part. The parliamentary department did their part. They get over 200,000 people out to register.
No, pause. No. Remember, we have a permanent register now. And
yeah,
many of those names were...
Got it.
No, but many of those names were already on the register.
What I'm saying, they got the rest who needed to get that was there. This is the highest most people ever registered for any election.
Mm-hmm.
And this is the lowest voter turnout.
Mm-hmm.
All right? So the government did their part. It now took for the political parties to get their people out to vote.
Okay, pause right there.
The government got them registered, you know.
Hold on, pause right there. That's,
you can't vote unless you register.
I know, but Uncle, that's the juicy part right there, right? You're saying PRD and the government did their part, and now it's time for the parties to get their people to come out and vote, right?
Yes.
Bang. That's the traditional model. And what I'm suggesting is that if we continue to use that model, then we will continue to say there will always be a small group of people who are undecided. See, because what we're actually saying when it comes from the partisan political space, what we're actually saying is those people are not a part of my party. Those people are not a part of my party, and I'm okay with that. So hold on. But for those people, right, you don't expect a FNM to reach out to them or PLP or COI. It is now goes back, the ball volleys back to the government.
Ms. Green, I don't usually disagree with you. Mm-hmm. I'm not going to disagree with you this morning.
Okay.
Then you go to a door to campaign.
Mm-hmm.
You go to campaign, and mm-hmm. you invite people out to come and vote.
Mm-hmm.
But who you decide, if you're going to vote for me, I appreciate it. If you decide to vote for somebody else, that is your God-given
right. Now, pause right there. Hold on. I have engaged with only a small handful of campaigners that operate like that. I know what you're saying. But the way that the campaigning takes place creates a dynamic in which the resident, right, doesn't see it as, oh, the FNM is just here to tell me about the importance of voting. They read it as the FNM is here to try and get me to vote for them. I understand what you, right? It's like intent versus impact.
Ms. Green, let me say this to you. Before I had started having challenges with my eye, I ran the whole campaign in 2012 mm-hmm. in Nassau Village. And doing my training classes, I know some of the people that were in my classes listen to your station.
Mm-hmm.
One or two of them, I call in and say what I'm saying is correct. I always tell them, who the person is voting for is not your business. Your business is to convince them to vote for you. If they decide to vote, that's not your business.
Mm-hmm.
Your business is to convince them to vote for you.
Now, listen, I need you to go back to those classes and start teaching them, okay? You go back now.
You don't worry about who they vote. That's their business.
Right,
they decide they can vote for whoever. Let them go. Your job is to convince them to vote for you. That's your only job there.
Right, okay, but I need you to go back to the classes because it's in the convincing that the message gets lost, you see? Man, Uncle, I value the information you bring because you are a part of the machinery, so you understand how it works. I am just throwing challenges at it, right?
No,
I love it.
I like your spirit. Like I told you yesterday, I like how you jump. But let me ask you one thing in closing.
Okay.
When you apply for a job at Guardian Radio,
mm-hmm.
the host of the show,
mm-hmm.
do they have any political anything on those forms?
No, they don't.
Ask you, like, who
they don't get into your personal.
How come they get all of the talk show houses, all the people that talk the show against the government?
Okay, pause. I love it. Let's use me as an example, right?
You're different.
Yeah, I hope
you against everybody. You different.
That's all, right? I hope that they remember.
Yeah, you different. But I'm saying some of them is just not. 95% of them is not really against the government. So I thought you have to be against the government in order to get hired.
No, you don't have to be against the government, but you have to.
It's the PLP then.
No, not the PLP either. Man, Uncle, don't make me laugh, man. That ain't what it is. But you have to be bold enough to challenge institutions that rarely get challenged. That's what it is. Now, how people do that, right, is different for everybody. Callers, I see you. Let me read one or two of these texts, though. Text says, so less than 20% of the country's population voted to return the PLP to government. I blame us. Another text. Good morning, Aaron. Can you please explain to me where the phrase came from? If you don't vote, you don't have a say in your country. It is derived from the political culture. It is a narrative that suits them, right? If you don't participate in politics in the way that we say is valuable, then you have no voice. I say that the vote is only the beginning of the journey, but you don't have to start there. And I tell all young people, if you vote for a party, you must then step forward to assist them in fulfilling the agenda that you endorsed. Or else your expectations will be soured. Let's go to the next caller. Good morning, caller.
Morning, Aaron. How are you?
I'm good, thank you. How are you?
Okay. The former prime minister, in a recent interview, Ingram. Mr. Ingram, mm-hmm. within the last 24 hours, mm-hmm. made a definitive statement that, in his opinion, mm-hmm. the loss, the lack of turnout, among other things, may have been led to internal issues that were made very, very public within the FNM party.
Mm-hmm.
He stated that the administration may have left a stain that Bahamians, I'm paraphrasing now,
mm-hmm.
may not have left a stain that Bahamians have not yet healed from.
All right. Okay. So watch this. You're saying Ingram is saying that the menace era has not just impacted the FNM party detrimentally, but it has impacted the country detrimentally and may be a part of the reason why we have this low voter trend?
No. He was specifically talking about
his party.
His party.
Okay, cool.
And as a result of that,
mm-hmm.
He said that, basically he didn't come out and really say it in those words, but he says that a new direction mm-hmm. basically has to be taken to, I guess, regain the trust, the mindset of first the followers of that party,
mm-hmm.
and then possibly the mindsets of the Bahamian population.
Mm-hmm.
But I said something, and I think we need to give kudos where it needs to go.
Mm-hmm.
The PLP party, you would never know when the PLP party is having a disagreement internally.
Yes, man. You don't remember what they told Robin and Shane?
Aaron, you don't know when the PLP party, and anyone that called, I even heard yesterday, persons who are not pro-government mm-hmm. stated that the FNM has a major problem.
Mm-hmm.
When something is going on in there, it's public. The PLP, they're like husband and wife, a good husband and wife relationship.
Boy.
They living around neighbors, and the neighbors, listen, they'll be cussing each other.
Based on
the neighborhood will never know that they're having a problem.
Based on the sip that slips out, I would hate right to know about the things we don't know about.
History has proven that.
No, man. Thank
history
you.
History has proven that.
Listen, I will
tell you. One thing about the opposition, mm-hmm. you ain't got to worry about no sip.
Yeah. You know,
they ain't no sip. They coming out in the street.
And saying it.
And not only saying it.
So let me ask you a question. How the story about how Christie defeated Alfred Sayers, despite the fact that Alfred Sayers had a gargantuan edge on Christie
and
the convention, how'd that slip out?
I got to answer you. I'm going to answer you. Okay. I want you to remember this, and then I got to hang up because I'm at work.
Yes, sir.
I want you to remember this,
mm-hmm.
and I go back to what I'm saying. Historically, and this is the former prime minister of this country stating
mm-hmm.
that the internal issues within his party
mm-hmm.
me and you could be back here back and forth.
Right.
But the doctor of this country, the one they put up on the stage.
Oh, no, I'm not. Listen, no, no, I'm not discounting that at all. I was only.
That they need to get their house in order.
I got you. I wasn't discounting the FNM side. You know, I was discounting that side where you say you don't hear about the PLP. Sip, sip, sip. That sip, sip, sip is be off the chain. So off the chain. I scared for the things we don't hear about. Good morning, caller. Good morning, caller. You still there, caller?
Hello, Mr.
Hi,
Green.
Good morning.
Can you hear me?
I can hear you now.
Mr. Green, I mean, with all due respect, not you in particular, right? I mean,
yeah.
Why is people trying to water down this victory? Ms. Green, no. First of all, me and Motley, the turnout in Barbados were 52%.
No, man, the turnout was low, low, low. Lower than that.
No, listen to me. In Jamaica, Eric Holders, 27%, right? Hello?
Yeah, yeah, I'm listening. I'm listening.
Listen carefully right now. No, listen carefully. The reason why the world turnout was low, the people have no faith in the FNM. Guess what, Mr. Green? You smart. If people want the government gone, they will come out in large numbers. True or false? That's true, right? Hello?
Not necessarily, but
see, I'm dealing with facts now. The facts is, in 92, turnout was high. 2012, turnout high. 2012, in 2 was high. The bottom line is, the FNM has, we had some candidate who was undesirable. For instance, Marvin Dames.
Thank you. Let's be mindful of the things that we say, please. I mean, you did yourself an injustice there because nobody really going to follow anything else you said before that. Good morning, caller. We're on to our next caller. Good morning. How are you?
Hey, blessed round of morning, Bahamas. Well, I have a couple of thoughts on that. I think behemoth politics is going to be a long game. I think there is a silver lining in the midst of this. So the PLP, again, congratulations to them. I think they did a good job in terms of galvanizing their supporters, but it does. But I think the numbers does show we have a serious problem with engagement, and we'll have to figure out how we're going to get it. In my house, I'm probably for the next election, there'll be at least 4 more persons who are eligible to vote.
Now,
my job is to ensure that they participate in this process, understand this process. But that's what my job as a father is. To my children. I ain't putting that on the government. I ain't putting that on no one else. So I'm going to share with them my viewpoints and why I think they should vote a particular way, not necessarily a party, but maybe against a particular view. So that's my job as a parent, my wife's job as a mother. So, you know, I think so for the long game, I do believe that the PLP, while they can rejoice in the victory, I think, you know, long term, we may be seeing something where party loyalty is dwindling. Those older ones who supported, say, the PLP, they're going to pass away. And they're going to be replaced. Will the PLP be able to, you know, replace them? Younger voters, I think the FNM, I said this yesterday, I think the FNM really never had. They were built on persons who were frustrated with the PLP that led to the 92.
I got
But
you.
They never really were the FNM. They just happened to support the FNM. And so I think Mr. Ingram, and I was one of those. Mr. Ingram lost us when he started to interfere with Algernon Allen. You know, when he was leaving, he interfered with that process. And that turned me off and my family.
I got you.
And so I left the FNM. Not left the FNM. I really left. Never supported them after that.
I got you.
I don't think it was minutes only. I think they became like the PLPs in some ways. And they lost touch. And I lost touch with them. So I was looking for something else. I was looking for persons who are going to run this country, who are not going to be stealing or handing monies over. Now, I ain't calling no name, but handing monies to their cronies and, you know, secret contracts and finders fee, these large sums going, large consultancies, this wastage, because I have to pay it, my children have to pay it. The cost of living rises as the debt rises. So these are my issues.
Absolutely.
And those were, and I think a lot of behemoths, so now my job is to really engage others. I think over the next few years, y'all who have the radio choices and not wait till election, this is why you need to participate.
Absolutely.
And it don't have to be whatever party you choose.
Yep.
This is why you're going to have to be engaged, because it's going to affect you. If you think, okay, I can have a job, eventually you're going to be impacted with the cost of living, education costs, for your children, your grand, it will trickle down to you. Thanks, Aaron.
Absolutely. Thank you very much. Thank you very much for that contribution. I look at these voices talking about voter apathy, and I say to myself, are you shocked at the low voter turnout? Are you observing what's happening around you in your society? Do you think that people who run red lights and stop signs with their children in their car rely on law and order as created by the government to direct their lives? Do you think they are invested in this system of governance if they run red lights and stop signs with their children in the car? And how long do you think someone who is invested will remain invested if they continue to watch police officers break traffic controls? If they continue to watch the people with the black and white plates and the white and blue plates, the judiciary ignore traffic controls? So all of this rah-rah-rah, the PLP and the FNM and even the PRD, because they don't know it yet, but they are also caught up in this political culture, unable to separate themselves, right? You got people working in the PRD that don't even know they're not supposed to fraternize with political party members in public. You got people working for the government who are breaching general orders. How you could get a responsibility allowance of almost 20, I mean, it was plenty money, I can just say, in the tens of thousands, how you could get a responsibility allowance on top of your salary, taking your salary to over $200,000, and you were not responsible enough to remember that you're not supposed to be seen in party colors? And then y'all want to come here and ray, about who is responsible for the low voter turnout? The government, the political actors that continue to treat the exercise like it only belongs to them. Look at election night. Once they determine who is first past the poll, they stop with the results. We can't even get the numbers because it has nothing to do with us. All we're supposed to do is vote and accept who the winner is. That's it. These are the things that are driving the low voter turnout. I see that caller was waiting. Let's go to the call producer, and then we're going to transition to another reason why we may see low voter turnout and public apathy. Good morning, caller.
Hey, good morning, Aaron.
Good morning.
Aaron, did you would have said the official count for a man, how much person was on the register?
Yeah, that data has been, it's still, I don't think it's been formed. We don't have an official number yet.
Okay, but
I mean, let me rephrase that. The number of people on the register is official. Let me pull my notes for today so I could read it for you. Late last night, I received some stats. So, total registered voters for 2026, 209,264.
Yesterday, all right, and they sure a lot of us, inclusive of you, Mike, could discover this, right?
Mm-hmm.
Now, if you send in a number, a man, a name of a loved one would pass mm-hmm. 2-3 years ago, right?
Yeah.
Right?
Uh-huh.
Or check the register wherever they were residing, right?
Mm-hmm.
At the time of their death, right?
Mm-hmm.
You'll find that they still register to vote.
So you're saying that we need a real comprehensive and public exercise to scrub the register.
My mother-in-law dead, and she registered to vote.
She's on the register.
Still.
Yeah.
So I'm sure you could find some other persons in that because they keep telling us that. But hey, just try it, Aaron. Just try it for one love member.
I got you. I can do the test.
I just want to say justice to Pinewood, man. You know, have a nice day.
I got you. Boy, that's... We go into a break. Oh, I see you, caller. Good morning, caller. You got 30 seconds. Good morning.
Good morning.
How you do?
My name is Bobby.
Hi, Bobby.
First time caller in a long time.
Yes.
I listened to the program
mm-hmm.
from 8-7 in the morning when the chief come in.
Yes.
Till 9:30, 12 o'clock in the night.
Yes,
not
sir.
12, but the latest, okay?
Yes.
I just want to express one point So give me just one extra 10 seconds over the 30, please.
Okay, okay. You good?
The people that call in, mm-hmm. the very, very educated one, please say to them, I'm a little dropout from Aquinas.
Mm-hmm.
When I say dropout, I'd leave to go to work.
Yeah.
If you're talking to people who are smart and intelligent, you could use these big words.
Mm-hmm.
These people cannot figure out what 50 people talking about.
Yeah.
Because he always on this high level, and I hitting him, I'm telling him the truth. I can understand what he's saying.
But not everybody can.
No, yeah. The little masters around here. Listen, I won't see why.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, no, I won't see why.
Mm-hmm.
Simply not to let the PLP win.
I got you.
Because voting for the anybody else
mm-hmm.
would have been a sure thing. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
I know you've spoken against Glennie's because I live in Anglestown.
Mm-hmm.
So I vote for COI.
Yeah.
Who financially don't have the show to really run behind these big guys.
Yeah.
But let me tell you something, Ms. Green. Mm-hmm. It is so embarrassing. It is so gullible to see people struggling, hungry, and work for the same foolishness again for 5 more years.
Mm-hmm. I hear you.
Trust me, we're in trouble.
I got you. But we still got time.
From Mini Street, we're in trouble.
But listen, from you call the show and share the word, we got time. We could still fix it. Also, I love that compliment you gave 52. 52, the brethren say you be saying important things. But he wants you to break it down so the people who really need it could receive it. And that's a compliment. And when we go into a break, when we get back from the break, are we able to determine how many women stayed home? Does 9 women in parliament, is historic for politics, but is it historic for the Bahamian people? Did we get more value with 2,000 women standing behind a movement than 9 women standing in front of a movement? Anyway, we're going to a break. You're on the clock with Aaron Green. Stay tuned. Send me your questions. We're going to read them. We're going to talk about them. We'll be right back.
Wait, you know what's going down tomorrow?
Nobody, what happening?
Joe bringing the knife to school? He could do Junior in?
For what?
Wait, he fooled with Joe girl?
Mother sick. And you know Junior don't bark down for nothing. So that means he got a big fight tomorrow.
So whose side you on?
Side? I trying to stay in school, not Simpson fan. We gotta tell somebody about this fight.
Tell somebody? I ain't no snitch. I mean cool, you know.
Wait, if you so cool, then you need to stay in school and stay out of the fight.
Yeah, but if I don't hang on Joe's side, him and he boys coming for me next.
All right, so we definitely gotta tell somebody. We gotta prevent the fight.
What I say, I don't want nobody call me snitch.
We could just call Crime Stoppers. You could report what you know, and nobody gotta know it's you.
So how do I work?
All you gotta do is call them, or you text them through the Crack Crime Bahamas app, and nobody can know it's you.
Then the police come looking for me for more info, and when they finish with them, Joe them coming looking for me?
When you call Crime Stoppers, the calls go directly to Miami, and they don't ask nothing about you. Then you can get the pen from them, and they can claim a reward later using that same pen.
Plus, everything's scrambled, so nobody can read what you're saying.
Calls 328-8477 from Nassau, or 242-300-8477 from the Family Islands.
Love the show? Want to give your support? Become a sponsor today. Call 302-2300 for our rates and packages. That's 302-2300. Become a sponsor on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
For fast, reliable, and impactful printing services, look no further. Let Printmasters bring your masterpiece to life. We stand by our quality products that is second to none. Our affordable pricing and friendly, efficient staff makes Printmasters the ultimate choice for all your printing needs. We can deliver any type of printing services, from banners to booklets to business cards. You name it, we can print it.
Let Printmasters bring your masterpiece to life.
Located in the Nassau Guardian Building, telephone 302-2361.
When it comes to hearts at Cleveland Clinic, you can't miss a beat. You seek the best care possible, work with the brightest minds, and leave no stone unturned to get to the heart of the matter. Because understanding is always the first step to overcoming. For every heart in the world, see how we're advancing the future of Cleveland Clinic today.
Good morning. Welcome back. You're on the clock with Aaron Green. We're doing a post-election review. I got a text here that says, tell that caller he's talking foolishness. One second. We all does know when the party's having internal issues because it comes out. The PLP just goes around and denies it. Listen, at the beginning of this Davis administration, the prior one, I said that the party has started off running with union busting and media busting. But at the end of the five or four and a half year, because you can't call it a 5-year term, and that should be noted, right? At the end of this Davis administration term, I could say that the PLP are the kings of obfuscation. If the PLP had a superpower, it would be obfuscation. Now, I know the caller tell me just now, stop using big words, but that word is important. Go look that up. Obfuscation. It's a superpower that the PLP apparently have. Okay, so we got two things I want to touch on, and then I'm just going to read text to end the show. The headline, Election of Nine Women Shows Real Progress, says former MP, coupled with nine women elected to parliament. The first story is from today's Tribune. The second story, nine women elected to parliament, is from yesterday's Guardian. I wanted to do a full show on this topic because I, too, am a women's rights advocate, and I am sorely disappointed with the movement in the space right now. So we're going to read quickly. Election of nine women shows real progress, says former MP. Former opposition leader Loretta Butler-Turner said the election of nine women to the House of Assembly on Tuesday marks real progress for women in frontline politics, bringing the country closer to equal representation in parliament. And so what? What does it mean? What will it mean? What have we had seven women before? We had to. What would it have done? How will it improve? What have they done? This is a historic moment for whom? For the political class? For the Pearls and Heels crew? What about the women who are suffering? What about the women who are living on the poverty line? What about the women who are making desperate decisions that leave them and themselves at risk of abuse and molestation, the children and themselves, right? Because they have no other choice, or they see no other choice, or they can find no other resources. What is the sense of having a whole bunch of women in parliament if they ain't doing nothing for the women who need it the most? This year's International Women's Day was just another parade of pearls. Pearls and pageantry. And to have my good... See, I have to tell y'all. To have my good cousin Loretta Butler-Turner say it. I have to tell y'all because y'all feel like you can't talk about certain people a certain way. But if you're a politically exposed person, you should expect it. Mrs. Butler-Turner, a former FNM MP for Long Island, said the results show the political glass ceiling is no longer as firm as it once was. We go to page four. Once was, though, women still face tougher tests than men in public life. I just want to know one thing. When Brave was in opposition and he suggested that Minister deploy whistles for the safety of the women, and then when Minnis was in opposition and he brought the whistles to the House, ladies, what have you brought to protect women and children? Just give them a, just like you whistle, you wink while I whistle. Did anybody punch Minnis in his ribs for making sport of the violence that women and young people, young girls and boys are facing on a daily basis? Y'all, did y'all bring them to task for trivializing such a serious issue? No? No? Anyway, I wanted more time to spend on that so we could flesh it out, but I don't have that time because now I got to move to this next headline. Bannister says Pintard must resign after crushing defeat. Sometimes the political satire writes itself. Former Deputy Prime Minister Desmond Bannister said FNM leader Michael Pintard should resign after the party's crushing general election defeat on Tuesday, saying that is the traditional response when a leader loses a national election. Is Bannister now obsessed with the Westminster system and its principles? Blackbeard's Key, Desmond Bannister? That one? You didn't resign from frontline politics? I got to bring the article so I could read it precisely with all the quotation marks so I don't get accused of casting aspersions and slurs on people. But this is the most, this is even more hilarious than Loretta Butler Turner talking about women's rights. That's my good cousin, mind you. As I don't think you all remember, the Tuesday immediately following August Monday weekend in 2014, when Loretta Butler began her political campaign against Minnis by destabilizing the entire gender equality referendum. Y'all politicians have jokes. Let me tell the jokes, please. I see we got a caller on the line, producer. Let's go to that caller. Caller, you got 30 seconds. Good morning, caller. Good morning, caller. You still there? Oh, I miss you, caller. I miss you, caller. If that was my good cousin Loretta Butler trying to call in, call back. I could take your call. Here's another text. They keep quiet about the internal corruptions. Also, no accountability. I will never forget the PLP convention where that tape the video just appeared out of nowhere saying Shane and Robin, anyway, doing that nasty thing to the PLP. Man, you can't let Dave ruin these talk shows, man. Let him call the other stations. Well, come on, man. Let's be easy with people. Let's be easy with people. The bottom line is, no, I don't know if money bought out the voters. We don't know that. I don't know that. The bottom line is you got to have proof. You put your money where your mouth is. You got to have proof. When are we going to invest in mechanisms and entities to do the proper investigative work necessary? Here's another text. The F&M problem is Hubert Ingram. Until they get rid of Ingram, I will not vote. Here's what the both parties' problems are, right? The PLP opens up its manifesto with reminding us that they are the PLP of like some Milton Taylor. Could not be. This Davis administration never was. Every day I beg my other good cousin, Glennis Hannah-Martin, to take A.D. Hannah's PLP to someplace where it will flourish. The point is that this FNM is no longer the FNM of Ingram, the Pinling Slayer. And this PLP is no longer the PLP of Pinling and Stevenson. Well, I say Pinling, the UBP slayer. And at the time that Pinling had it, it was no longer the party of Stevenson and Milton, the discrimination slayers. You see what I'm saying? The problems these parties suffer, if parties are responsible for low voter turnout, is they have not been able to redefine themselves, to forge a new identity that resonates with the people they seek to lead. Somebody say, Lincoln don't have enough money to win. Campaigns cost a lot of money. Unless, of course, you Graham Weatherford, who ran a very impressive campaign if it was on a zero budget like it appears. Anyway, we got to end the show. Oh, we got one more text. Aaron, was it apathy or have our people morphed into a cabal of corruption? I think people have been forced to find their identity in an environment filled with corruption. Right? If you in the ocean and you can't swim, you're going to hold on to anything you could find and move with the current. We need people who are pillars to stand up and entrench themselves so others will have something to hold on to or to look toward. Producer, why you play that music, man? It's sweet, eh? Just like the Bahamas. Let's love each other. And tune in, because Guardian Radio AM with C.A. Newry is up next. Crows smell fire and they all fly away, Lord.
Bull Frog, get back, Sonny, cry all day.
This is Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM. Streaming on GuardianTalkRadio.com and the Guardian Radio app, Nassau, Bahamas.